In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
Hey, Vikram.
Yo, Vidur, what's happening?
Ready to feud?
I am so ready.
Why don't you tell the good folk what we're doing here?
Sure thing. We take a movie from the IMDb Top 250 and we toss a coin. Heads argues for and tails argues against. So simple.
Simple indeed. And the movie we are feuding over today is none other than Disney's 1994 feature, The Lion King.
Das Vidanya.
Any other languages you want to throw in to insult Africa?
That's where I remember the clearest. I know it's Russian, what I just said, but it just comes closest to whatever it is in my mind.
You're already making my point for me. Just nonsensical music.
That was a joyous burst coming out of me. There's no way this movie can be bad. There's absolutely no way this movie can be bad.
Well, I think there's a lot of ways this movie can be bad. Have you watched any of the other animated features we were in love with just because they came on Star Movies? They don't hold up, my friend.
No, man. I'm pretty sure like Bambi and Lion King are like two classics in terms of animations that actually hold up.
I have never watched.
You never seen Bambi?
Bambi, yeah.
You're gonna cry, bro.
Yeah, so I hear.
You're in for a good crying. I remember watching Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast when I was a kid and not liking them even then. So, yeah, I believe you.
But you're not the target audience. The target audience is tiny little girls, which means, wait, you are the target audience. A burn. You a little girl, bruh.
All right, dude. I mean,
I totally forgot. Like, I knew there was obviously Circle of Life, but that's almost like an opening number, right?
Hakuna Matata.
And I remembered Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
What's with the nasal thing, dude?
That's how young Simba sings. It means no worries for the rest of your days. He's so annoying. We'll get to it. Young
Simba. It's a problem for thee.
Copyright, please.
Okay.
So these two numbers that we just sang are still acceptable. The other are just filler tracks that you have to sit through to watch this movie. It's just like a Bollywood movie. It's like a musical number or a song or like an item number every 10 minutes.
Each character, each main character at least, was fleshed out so well. Even Timon and Zazu and Pumbaa, who don't have as much screen time as you wanted, are so bloody good.
What is Pumbaa's character, Vikram? That he farts?
Yeah, it's the comic relief, man.
Oh, yeah, of course. So fleshed out. What a farter he was. The voice acting in the farting, my God. One moment, Scar is all sinister, right? And then the next moment, just like an annoying musical, like, you know, one of those plays that doesn't need music, but they force it in there. So he'll be sinister, but then he has to sing that evil guy song. Like a Broadway show, like a musical. Oh, he's like, oh, I'm evil. And then he says, like, if I were an evil lion, la 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 la.
Oh, that was fun, man. That was fun.
Like that stupid song, Can You Feel the Love Tonight, when the lions are about to bang?
Best Oscar song.
That's the song that won the Oscar?
Yeah. Three of the songs from this movie were nominated for Best Song, and Can You Feel the Love Tonight won.
We are going to f*** tonight. That's the song. That's the whole song.
It's a great song, dude. It's a great score. It's great music. I don't know why you're hating, dude. Can we move on from this?
It was fun to play together.
This in my mind was a concession by you, and I'm appalled right now. Have you no heart, Vidur? Have you none of that heart?
It means no worries for the rest of your days. Are you snapping your fingers? Can you stop it?
It's a problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
You have to do the nasal voice. You can't do it without the nasal voice.
Hakuna Matata, yaar, Vidur. Just Hakuna Matata, bro.
An African phrase that now everybody in the world knows. They should go on the route of Madagascar and just use like modern pop songs like Katy Perry's Roar and Fireworks.
You're digging your own grave right now.
No, I'm not. It's better than this stupid, like, ballad.
I have this on record now, forever and ever.
Do you realize how lions and their prides work?
Are we going down the logic route again?
This is actually confirmed by the director.
Okay.
There's usually one male lion in a pride.
Right.
A bunch of lionesses who hunt.
Yeah.
And that part they actually alluded to, right? Because when Scar becomes a king, like, the lionesses hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, how do you think the lionesses have their cubs? Where do they find the mate? It's the one male lion.
Right.
Are you following me so far?
So are you saying that Simba and Nala are step siblings?
Yes.
Do you think they give a shit?
They should.
No, they shouldn't. They're animals, wild animals.
That means Simba is also the product of incest, yes? That explains so much, because he is a dumb f*** in this movie.
I mean, I don't know what to say to you, dude. That's how animals work. Sorry for bursting your bubble. That's how animals work.
Now you want to go back to how animals actually work.
Got it up. I'm fine with them being stepsisters or stepbrothers or whatever.
They seem to have child marriage in
the
savannah.
They're not humans. Child marriage?
They do.
You think they get married?
Zazu said she's his betrothed.
Yeah.
So, child on one hand incest, on one hand child marriage.
You're shuffling very rapidly between logic and no logic.
So are you.
No, I'm just trying to humor you.
You're just saying incest is normal in the savannah. On one hand, they've been humanized. On the other hand, it's like incest. What's that about?
What do you want, man? I don't get it. You want a children's movie to address child marriage, incest.
No, just don't bring it up. Okay, fine. The incest is subtle.
The movie did not bring this up.
They bring up child marriage for sure.
No.
Simba and Nala are betrothed.
They're betrothed, but that doesn't mean that they're getting married when they're children. They're betrothed to be married when they're adults.
Yeah, that's what child marriage is also. That's a part of child marriage.
No.
That's not cool either, Vikram.
Stop bringing this into it. I don't know why you're bringing this into it. The movie did not raise any of these stupid-ass issues. The most emotional scene in this movie.
Is it when I cried because it was over?
No, that's not a scene, firstly.
Dad, wake up, Dan. Dad, wake up. That's so messed up, man. You can't just show like a kid trying to wake up his dead father. That's just easy tear-jerking. Not cool.
You don't want to shut up, man.
Do you remember what gets Simba to come back? Like, how quickly Act 2 gets over with? Do you remember the element that makes Simba actually go back to the Pride Lands?
Yeah.
What is it?
Him actually realizing that Mufasa is within him.
No, it's not talking to Mufasa in the clouds. That's what I thought you would say. The key element, actually, is Rafiki. The baboon.
Yeah.
The magical baboon, by the way.
He's the, what do you call it? Shaman.
No, he's a hokum pokum magical monkey, okay? And things were bad enough as it is. We didn't need some, like, guru, magical monkey guru.
He rips that fruit apart and, like, shit happens, dude.
Ah, Simba, oh, ho, ha, ha, ho, hee, ho, ha, ha.
Racist.
And the movie we are feuding over today is none other than Quentin Tarantino's 2009, arguably classic, Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, gali didi.
No. I said bastards, not bastards.
That you did.
And apparently, Quentin Tarantino refuses to reveal why he misspelled the name. It's art.
Yeah, he came on one of the late night shows this one time and he said, oh, it's a Tarantino spelling. I don't know what that means.
Art. He's an auteur. Hans Landa is the epitome of style and substance.
Hans Landa's unique, I'll give you that.
Aha, a concession
Speaking
begins.
Speaking of, let's just get into it. Let's just dive straight into it. Why don't we just start talking about Hans Landa?
Sure.
Or Landa.
Landa.
I'm going to be calling him Landa this episode.
Can we have a moratorium on bad,
no,
bad pit,
no.
Southern Tennessee
so,
accents?
There's so much of that in this feud, you have no idea.
Okay, why don't you just pick a segment at some point and just get it all out of your system?
No, man.
But not call Hans Landa,
no,
and so on.
No, you can't tell me what to do with
You're going to rile me up over this feud with your bad accent.
That's my whole point. It's not my bad accent, firstly. It's Brad Pitt's bad accent. But we'll get to that. Why don't we just talk about Landa right now?
Okay, stop it. But yes, let's talk about Hans Landa, the best villain of at least that year. He won the Oscar for it.
He won Best Oscar Supporting Actor.
As a villain. One of the greatest villains of all time. The introduction of The Inglourious Basterds by Brad Pitt, a.k.a.
Lieutenant Aldo Rain. Who was his accent coach in this movie, man? I would have a word with that gentleman. I'm a hillbilly and that's why I'm trying this hard as this accent. I need me some Nazi scum. Y'all gonna give me some Nazi scum. Enzo Gorlami. Buongiorno. Arrivederci. 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 Jesus, dude. He has such a bad accent. And you know what the sad part is? For some reason, Brad Pitt hasn't been able to shake off this accent completely post-Bastards. Every movie he's in, there's a little bit of that accent always there.
Oh, really? He's doing killing Nazis in every movie he's in?
No, it's like, that's what I thought. It's always there, man. Have you seen Fury?
You're embarrassing yourself.
Have you seen Fury?
Did he play a gentleman from the South in Fury?
Go watch Fury. He did not, but he still has the same accent. It's unbelievable, man.
And the Germans will fear us. And the Germans will die by us.
Each one of y'all owes me 100 Nazi scalps. And I'm going to get me my scalps. Because then I'm going to eat me those scalps. What the hell, man? What's happening?
I think it's excellent. In fact, if I could quote from the vernacular of this movie, I think the character Aldo Rain, and particularly his accent, are wunderbar.
Wunderbar?
Wunderbar.
Really? Lieutenant Aldo Rain?
Yeah, bro. The head of the Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, it's basically Quentin Tarantino taking a bunch of Jewish people and turning them into Nazis so that they can kill Nazis.
That's right.
What the Bastards are.
That's right. Yeah. They don't drop into Nazi Germany and parachute into it and then hide in enemy territory to go and offer peace treaties, right? Or whatever Aldo Rain said. They go there to kill some Nazis. And Aldo Rain and the Bastards strike terror into the heart of the Germans, all the way up to Hitler. 9999999, he's freaking out about the Bastards. Everyone in the German army has heard of Hugo Stieglitz. It's just one character after the other.
It didn't do too well, man. I know a lot of people ended up liking the Bear Jew, Donny Donowitz.
Donny Donowitz, a.k.a. the Bear Jew, a.k.a. Eli Roth, famed director Eli Roth.
Famed director, right you are. You know, side note, like the movie they're watching inside called Nation's Pride.
Nation's Pride, yeah.
Was directed by Eli Roth.
Oh, that's cool.
Not really. It was a pretty shitty looking movie.
Actually, screw you. I already knew that factoid.
Oh.
And the key to that movie is that Tarantino, through Eli Roth's direction, he's mocking us. He's basically making us hypocrites, right? Because, jumping ahead a little bit, you feel good watching the violence, which Tarantino's famous for, against Nazis. Because they're Nazis, right? In the end, when Hitler is being killed by Donny Donowitz, I half expected to hear Kekelunga, just the brutal way he's doing it. And I think it would have been actually perfect if that like dubstep Kekelunga dropped right at the time when he was just shooting like 100 bullets into Hitler. But anyway, by showing us that violence and us enjoying it the way I clearly did, and then showing the Nazis enjoying Nation's Pride, a movie where that Frederick Zola soldier is just killing the Allied forces one after the other, he's basically mocking us. We are doing exactly what the Nazis were doing in that film.
What you just mentioned was very self-indulgent. It was self-indulgent nonsense, pretty much like what this movie is.
Everything Tarantino does is self-indulgent.
Nonsense.
We just are along for the ride.
This movie was just, he's rewriting history for what purpose? I mean, at the end of the
day,
there are like three separate assassination attempts to stop this German empire. They all succeed at the same time. I mean, what's the point of all of this?
Yeah, it's a movie. It was a little redundant, I think, the assassination.
It was overkill.
But how can you say it wasn't fun to watch Hitler, to go all Ramadhir Singh, just riddled with bullets? That's fun.
You know, there was a Huffington Post article, I think after this movie came out, a little after that maybe, and it was literally titled How the Moral Emptiness of Quentin Tarantino Was Ruining His Movies. And I felt that. I felt that in this movie. And every movie that he's come out with after this as well, Hateful Eight and Django Unchained, there's something that's gone wrong very, very strongly in terms of his mentality, or I think he's just way too many drugs and he needs to stop.
If you're quite done with your armchair pop psychology evaluation of this great man, this artist, this auteur, this great filmmaker, can we go ahead and end this feud? I'm kind of done. I want to go drink some milk and smoke a giant pipe now.
Yes, please.
Oh, you mean we?
Oui.
We. Oui. Oh, yes?
We.
Oui. Oh, thanks. Is that you granting permission?
Huh.
Au revoir, Vikram.
Hey, Riverdale-chi. Hey, Riverdale-chi. Hey, Riverdale-chi. Hey, Riverdale-chi. Hey, Riverdale.
So, the movie we're feuding this week is Batman Begins.
I am Batman.
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 Batman Begins. We both suck at the Batman voice, turns out.
It's computerized, man. We're supposed to suck at it.
Should we just put a hard stop to doing Batman voice?
I cannot promise anything.
Okay, fair enough. But just in case nobody could understand what we were saying, the movie we're feuding this week, Batman Begins by soon-to-be Sir Christopher Nolan.
No doubts about that. Yeah, this is going to be one exciting feud.
Terrible. I mean, the Scarecrow as a villain is bad. Cillian Murphy's portrayal is stupid. The only villain I like in the movie is actually Tom Wilkinson. I just love that guy. The guy who plays Falcone.
I agree. I literally love him as an actor. I'm so glad he was part of this movie.
I like him as an actor too. He did a great job with that weird accent when he's talking to Bruce Wayne and really like sizing him up. I just love like that typical mobster vibe.
And then that line that ends that exchange, "You always fear what you don't understand." Boom.
Tom Wilkinson is basically the Bhaman Irani of Hollywood.
What?
Isn't he?
Bhaman Irani sucks. What are you talking about?
Bhaman Irani is awesome. And Tom Wilkinson is the same way. Just consistently reliable. He can do any role that requires a middle-aged, slightly portly man to play. He can just kill it.
The only villain in this movie is Ra's al Ghul. And for the most part of the movie, that's Ken Watanabe.
I think it's Ken Watanabe. I don't know. All I know is that it's actually bald Ken Watanabe.
Yeah, so Bald Ken, we'll call him Bald Ken. So
By the way, his English is better in this movie than it was multiple years later in the movie Inception.
This is a first collaboration between Chris Nolan and the legendary Hans Zimmer.
Ooh, shows. It shows that it's the first.
I mean, there are some teething problems, man, but Hans Zimmer, dude, he'll knock it out of the park if I give him a brief, and I don't know shit about musical score.
Turns out what I need to do to win any feud with you is to just feud long enough and eventually you'll just start handing me gifts.
How is this a gift?
You just said teething problems. Yeah, it's not that great.
It's the same logic, all right? This might be one of the weak Nolan movies. This might be one of the weak Hans Zimmer scores. But if you take them as individual scores or movies, they're so much better than everything out there. So I don't see a problem with that.
There was nothing extraordinary about the score, dude. Like, there was one Batman theme that was memorable, but I actually can't even remember it enough to hum it, maybe right now. But Hans Zimmer and Nolan started taking it to the next level with movies like Interstellar, where it was just, you know, a lot of focus on the audio. Dunkirk, where they used that beat where it constantly built tension. This was another movie score. Any of the Marvel people might have done it.
Seriously? Really? I mean, I think we've done enough of a BVS or Marvel comparisons with this movie.
Hans Zimmer did it better in Man of Steel. Yes or no?
No.
What?
No.
At least it's memorable. Ta-dung, ta-dung,
no, I ta-dung. Despise that movie and everything about that movie.
That's a theme. That's a theme. That's like a new Superman theme for our generation. Sad as the movie might be, but at least it's catchy. It's memorable. That's weak, dude. Hans Zimmer had done Pirates before this. Hans Zimmer did Man of Steel and many things after this. This movie, meh, well, whatever. First collaboration. It's okay. Good. It led to something good in the future. I think just like the movie, this feud has gone on a tad too long. So why don't we end it? Let me offer my short summary.
Jaldi kar.
Okay. Ready? I think this movie should have been called, open quote, "My Obsession with Cillian Murphy and Michael Caine Begins," end quote.
And Hans Zimmer.
Obsessed ho gaya yaar banda. Har picture mein. Yeah. Inception mein toh sense hi nahi banta tha Michael Caine ghusa diya. Dunkirk mein sense hi banta tha Cillian Murphy ghusa diya. I'm surprised Michael Caine wasn't in Dunkirk, actually. What a shock. Which makes me think Dunkirk should have been called, quote, "My Obsession with Michael Caine Finally Ends." And by the way, it happens to be during the Second World War. End of quote.
What? And if he happens to have Michael Caine in his next movie?
Then it would be The Michael Caine Rises. And the movie we're feuding this week, I'm pretty excited about. Because it's Thor Ragnarok. Copyright.
That doesn't mean anything. I just like Led Zeppelin.
Oh, that's right. That's right. A very prominent feature of this film.
Matt Damon was absolutely wasted.
Not wasted.
He was wasted.
His whole purpose was, it goes to show you shouldn't take the movie too seriously. It's like fourth wall breaking, right?
No, but that, Matt Damon in that entire scene could have been done so much better. It could have been done so much better. But
also, can we call Matt Damon in this movie Fat Damon, please?
All of a sudden, Thor is like the slapsticky, dumb, goofy guy, the typical courageous hero dude. He's basically Chris Pratt from Guardians all of a sudden within this movie. Before this, he was this serious, like...
He's had some time. He's hung out with Tony Stark a lot. He's hung out with Loki a lot.
Come on, you cannot justify. You gotta give a reason for why that's happened.
Of course.
He's hung out with Loki all his life.
Maybe he had a joke book, dude. Who knows?
No way,
you don't get
man.
To know what he does in the middle.
This is very clearly like the execs seeing like, oh, that Guardian Stone, that superhero angle, the Tony Stark angle really works. So let's just make Thor into that. And I understand what they're trying to do, which is essentially make
but also
dollars.
Also, on some level, who cares?
I care. It's a movie. It's a movie with a character who's been fleshed out over 10 different movies and the character just completely switches. It's kind of annoying if you think about it.
Why don't we jump to Hela? What a natural, seamless transition.
I know, they have Kate a sister Blanchett. All of a sudden. They're like, hey, you have a sister, bro.
That was very Sherlocky. Did you watch the latest season of Sherlock?
I did.
That reminded me of Sherlock so
I
much.
Mean, I get they're all like 500 years old and shit, but like, I mean, you gotta know if you have a sister, dude.
And she's more powerful than you. It's so Sherlocky, isn't it?
And no one in Asgard knows she exists. Remember that one scene?
But unless you like rip off the painting and then it's like full of her, basically.
Yeah. And like that basement with all her like dogs and stuff. I mean, the entire Asgard is in front of her, that first scene when she's in Asgard and she's like, it's come to my realization that no one knows who I am.
Yeah.
How can an entire civilization not know who she is? Like, how good of a secret keeper is that Odin?
It happens, man. Dude. That's how it happens. Like, for instance, recently I went to Gujarat and I went to this memorial for this like freedom fighter. His name was Shyamji Varma. And apparently he was the bomb, dude. Like, he did everything. Like, he set up this house in London where they used to meet and have these revolutionary ideas. He sponsored scholarships for people. And then as you come down, if the history books don't mention you, eventually you don't know who the person is.
Okay, so Hela is Dr. Shyamji Varma.
Shyamji Varma, yeah. And Chris Hemsworth is
ass.
Widely considered... Huh?
Ass?
What do you mean ass?
Were you about to say ass?
Are you thinking about Chris Hemsworth's ass right now?
Absolutely not. He is complete buns at delivering lines.
This attempt to hide your Freudian desire for Chris Hemsworth tushy by converting ass into a verb is not working.
He is absolute buns at the art of acting.
Stop saying buns and ass, firstly.
He's so bad.
He's great.
At what?
He's better at comedy than he is at other stuff, in fact.
He's good at nothing. He should be a model, dude. He should be a model. He'll be great at that. He should only be a model.
He's a model for Thorial with his hair. They said in that Bollywood movie that I'm forgetting, was it The Dirty Picture? Where Vidya Balan goes like, oh, entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. That's all that matters, dude. They made this movie so goddamn entertaining.
What I don't understand is, I haven't read too many of the Hulk comics, is that technically, tell me, like, explain this to me. If he's calm and if he's chilling and he's like in a more, not in that like a rage mode where he can actually talk to people around him, shouldn't he technically become Bruce Banner?
So no, well, in Age of Ultron, they kind of said that Bruce Banner risked losing himself more and more, and Hulk like began to take control until he almost had like permanent control. So it wasn't like certain that Bruce Banner would ever come back.
Got it. Okay.
Also, another answer to your question is, it doesn't matter because entertainment.
Okay. I got it. And I guess that's going to be the answer to my next question for you, which is...
Just say it after me before you even ask. Entertainment.
What are Loki's powers exactly?
Loki's powers are mischief.
Mischief.
Yeah, mischief.
So like he has that like that mind thing like a Spock, and then he has like this, he can like make various forms of himself.
Am
I on the right track?
Yeah.
And then that's it? And then he's really cool with knives and stuff?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
And then also he can like take a beating because he's a god.
Right, of course.
You know? So that's how it is, you know?
So no clearly defined powers, actually. Just like stuff here and there. Like,
it's like Dragon Ball Z, like they keep evolving. You know, he reaches new power levels.
Got it.
Keep evolving. Listen, I'm sure you loved the Avengers when it came out. And this was the biggest problem, the Avengers. That didn't bother you, right? It just matters.
I just want to know.
Okay.
I just want to know what his powers
are.
If you ask me what Hulk's powers are or... Now even Thor's powers are. I can accurately tell you what their powers are. Loki's powers, it's very
Thor,
up in the
Thor
air.
Thor leveled up, right?
He did level up, but it's a very distinctive level up. With Loki, like he does new shit every movie he's in.
Yeah, his power is to be the most compelling character in any movie that he's in.
Thor's level up here.
His Super Saiyan mode.
He conveniently goes Thunder mode when he's getting his ass whooped. He literally goes all Indra Bhagwan on Hulk.
I don't know. Indra Bhagwan.
All of a sudden, for those who don't know, Indra Bhagwan is, or Lord Indra is India's version of Thunder God. And all of a sudden, he's getting his butt whooped and he sees flashes of his dad and like, yep, Thunder mode.
Yeah, that's like every superhero story, anything ever. Wonder Woman's the same way.
I mean, everything from Marvel, if you're going to give me that, then or DC or these superhero movies that didn't work, it's not a good example to give, is it?
Goku's the same way. That's how it is. That's how these superhero stories
work. So, like, you get pushed to the limit and then you just, like, you unlock this.
That's exactly it.
Can I give you a chokehold? Get you to the brink of death?
Did you say chokehold?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Very, very violent.
Get you to the brink of death and just to see if you're harboring any secret superpowers.
I'm down.
Oh, let's do it.
I've always wanted to go blonde. But the best Korg line was, of course, when Loki appears. And then Korg chases after him and says, piss off, ghost. It's too good. And that's why Taika Waititi played him. You know, it's the most hilarious character. He also made this really cool reference, because I'd seen What We Do in the Shadows now, when I watched it again. And he made this really cool reference to this, like, he's like, hey, do you want this wooden spear to fight with the champion? Not very useful unless you are trying to kill three vampires huddled very close together. And What We Do in the Shadows is about three vampires who live together.
That's what I mean about the humor falling flat, man. That entire scene when he's choosing a weapon, but they talk about his hammer. Oh, you write the hammer? Oh, the hammer? Oh, it takes you off? A joke, whatever. Isn't it like a PG-13 movie, by the way?
I don't know. Yeah, it must be.
They're telling kids about jerking off and stuff, man. That's not cool.
Disney's been telling kids how to jerk off, like, through subtext for years and years and years.
This wasn't subtext. This was blatant.
Yeah, so what? It's fine.
I don't know, man. I didn't like Korg that much, honestly. I think he was overused. He could have maybe had a couple of scenes lesser.
The only time I didn't like Korg is when he made that joke right at the end about the Foundation and Asgard. I think that was stretching it. I must confess.
You must?
I must confess.
Okay, thank you for doing that. He should have shut the hell up.
I totally forgot. Hella, dude. Cate Blanchett is having so much fun in this role. She's rocking it. Apparently, she learned like capoeira or something to like give the character the way it feels.
Ooh!
With the antlers and the green and the smile and the jumping and
where was she? Wait,
knives.
I think I missed this part. Where was she all this while?
What do you mean?
Where was she?
She's just hidden away in some other realm.
And then all of a sudden she broke free. What happened exactly?
Did you watch the movie? It's because Odin dies.
Oh, so if Odin dies, she's free?
Yeah, Odin casts some spell or some shit.
But then Odin clearly didn't have to die. He was just like, oh, I have a different path. Peace out.
It was this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Works.
Piss off, Odin. Vikram.
Yes.
What does Die Hard mean?
Oh, I don't know.
What the hell does Die Hard mean?
I don't know, but it fits.
No, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, it's
because
like,
he's hard to kill.
Yeah.
Hard to kill would be a great title.
Like, it's like, you know, just like bent up, like action, like.
Stop it. Stop shaking. This is just two words put together for no reason.
I don't even. If this movie was called Ballu Gangster, I wouldn't have given two shits. All right, this movie is so good, dude.
Did Bruce Willis get really old, have a lot of Viagra because he was having troubles with his wife, and then die? And then when he was being buried, somebody was like, this man die hard. Is that what happened? That was my Hans Gruber's henchman accent, by the way.
Oh. So that's what you think German gangsters talk like.
They're not gangsters.
These men die hard.
They're not gangsters, firstly.
Terrorists.
They're pretending to be terrorists. What they actually are chomos. From now on, these men will only be referred to as chomos. These men are chomos. There's Hans Gruber and there's his merry band of chomos.
Hans Gruber and the Merry Chomos. I see that.
Yeah, they're useless. That would be a better name for this movie, by the way. Hans Gruber and the Merry Chomos.
This is the most real action movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Calm down, Vikram. Calm down. Calm down. This is not the best action movie. I know if I say something, you'll make me name them. So I can name one action movie that is significantly better, Terminator 2 Judgment Day. How can you even compare? Right?
Dude, this movie has everything, man. This has real emotions. It's still popcorn, yet it's, oh God, dude, best movie I've ever seen in my life.
Calm down. Calm down. Just calm down. Breathe, Vikram. Breathe. Are you okay?
You know why I keep saying it's the best action movie, according to me? This movie is the go-to template for all action movies, right? It's the lone hero fighting against insurmountable odds.
I think what you're trying to say is that this movie became a metronym, which apparently means that other movies use it as a template to refer to themselves, right? So Speed is Die Hard on a boat. And
a bus.
Oh, sorry. Speed 2 is Die Hard on a boat. Speed is Die Hard on a bus. Which brings me to an excellent point. So many movies did it better. For instance, the director, John McTiernan, had already done it better in his movie Predator. Under Siege, starring the great Steven Seagal, did it better.
Did it better?
Which was called Die Hard on a Train, I guess? And then Die Hard on a Submarine? Under Siege 2 did it better. You know what? Every Steven Seagal movie did it better.
That's blasphemy, firstly.
The fact that people are swearing, there's blood, there's a lot of German terrorists getting blasted in the nuts. I appreciate that.
Real, bro. That's what I mean by real. That's how it's actually going to go down, isn't it?
No, no. You don't get to, like, insert your real point. I think it's
more... It won't be yippee-ki-yay, dude.
Which is how they censor it in, like, TV versions.
Did they say dude?
No, dude. This is so famous because there's a lot of censored versions of this movie, right, in different areas. But the most famous, he actually says, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
What? So I would expect, like, Mother Trucker or something, dude. No, Mr. No. Falcon.
Mr. Falcon.
That's my code word for calling anyone a mofo now.
That's a good
you
idea.
You, Mr. Falcon?
Anyway, I think it's more a commentary on the studio system, like where it was back then, where it is now, right? Until Deadpool revitalized the R-rated genre, R-rated movies were just basically money sinkers because obviously you cut out a huge section of the audience. So that's why I respect the R-rating of this movie. Nothing much to do with the movie per se. Now that you brought up Hans Gruber, I think it's time we finally talk about him.
Yes.
Firstly, R.I.P., Alan Rickman.
I miss you, man.
I miss you too, Alan Rickman, but only because of your role as the greatest love story protagonist of all time.
Oh.
Starring in the love story of Severus Snape and Lily Potter.
Ah.
Harry Potter. After all this time, always.
He was so good in this movie. This
I
was
can't
his...
do Rickman. And neither can you, but I'll give you some credit for that.
I'm gonna do a lot of Rickman in this movie.
By the way, this is not Rickman, right? This is Rickman, who I think was like a classically trained actor or like a theater actor.
This is his feature film debut.
First feature film. So he's doing a caricature of a German accent, basically.
Dude, whatever he did worked, man. That smile? Chills.
No, it didn't. His facial hair worked. Only his facial hair worked.
His facial hair, the right side of his beard was a little off.
Oh, it was? Yeah. There we go. Even that didn't work.
Come on, man. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. Oh my God, so good.
That's so dumb. Actually, that whole sequence is dumb. Like, why does Bruce Willis let him know?
Yeah, because it's like intimidation tactic. Dude, he's going to win the building over. He has his own instinct. Let his instinct kick him and let him do his thing.
Speaking of instincts and kicking in, the chomos in this movie. Can we just get back to that?
No, no.
No, we have to. I think we have to.
They're German guys, yeah. They're just being told to do by Hans Gruber. And then just, they do it and so, they fail.
So famed, classically educated terrorist slash turns out thief puts together this team around him of his German chomos. He handpicks... these chomos.
You don't know that. Maybe it's handed to him. Maybe they're old, friends from school.
However they came to be, each of them firstly looks like they should be on the cover of a Mills and Boons novel.
I don't know why we're talking about what they look like or what their accent. It's the 80s, man. All of this was good for the 80s. So they're doing what they're doing basis of their time. You can't blame them for that.
You're making my point for me. Good for the 80s is not good enough. But anyway, so they all have like long hair.
That's an 80s thing.
Okay, okay.
You can't talk about hairdos and costumes and like all of that. That's what the 80s were like. People watching movies right now, people looking at Tony Stark right now, for example, 20 years later, they'd be like, what the hell is he doing? What sort of facial hair is that?
Can we just talk about Bruce Willis for a bit?
Please.
You know his wife beater changes color in the middle of the movie randomly? It really pissed me off. It starts out white. It just switches to like vomit brown randomly in the middle of the movie for no reason.
Dust and sweat. He's going up and down. What do you expect it to be pristine, ojala white the entire time?
Ayanaya ojala?
Yeah. You think he's like ojaloing his bundy all the time? So like, I must not let it get off white or brownish.
It happens randomly, okay? It's a weird like editing mistake. Also, his wife beater, which is now like this look is so iconic. Firstly, wife beater. A controversial name, if there was ever any. I think Louis C.K. has a bit on it. At the start of the movie, he is standing there having an argument with his wife while wearing a wife beater. And I don't know whether it's because we're living in the Me Too era or what, but it made me very uncomfortable.
The American dream or whatever, it's a struggling guy. He was a bartender in the middle. He was a driver, a truck driver in the middle. Then he picked up, came to Los Angeles, did all these auditions, got picked up on Moonlighting, did three brilliant seasons, won an Emmy or a Golden Globe or one of those.
Oh my God, he's just amazing. He's amazing. And then in this movie, he has like a sixth sense in this movie. Do you get it? Like a sixth sense. Oh my God, what a story. Oh yeah. He's unbreakable in this movie. Do you get it? Do you get it, bro? Bruce Willis's career is so cool, bro. He's unbreakable. Oh my God, the Nakatomi building, it becomes Sin City. It's like Sin City in this movie, right?
I want to see how long you keep this going. Just keep going.
You think he's going to fight them just for a little bit? But no, he goes the whole nine yards. Expendable he is not.